This makes room for you. Where are you in the world? He said your gift would bring you before kings. So we know that whatever we do, we must do it as unto the Lord. Why? Why is it important? Why is it important? Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. I'll tell you why. You're an ambassador. You're an ambassador of the kingdom of God. You're to take what is in heaven and dispense it on the earth. Come on. You're an ambassador for Christ. You have identity. You operate in dominion because you are a speaking spirit, just like your creator. Just like your creator. Hallelujah. Did you notice the pattern God said, God saw? God said, God saw. I want y'all to put that in here, okay? I have it written down a couple of times because when I saw that, I was like, this is exactly what pastor teaches us. This is exactly what Brother Copeland, Brother Hagin, all of them. This is what they're saying. God showed us in the first 20-something chapters how it's done. Amen. God spoke. God said, and so it is. So when God speaks this is how he works. God spoke exactly what he wanted and saw exactly what he said. It's not a version of what he said, okay? It's exactly what he said. He spoke from the word of his power. God was very intentional about how he did it. Whenever God wanted anything done, he decided what he wanted. He decided what he wanted and then why he wanted it. And then he spoke to what he wanted it made out of. Come on. And whatever God said, whatever he spoke to came out of what he spoke to. Exactly what he said. So God aims his speech at what he wants things made out of. For example, when God wanted trees, what did he speak to? The ground. Come on. When God created and commanded, whatever God created and commanded responded exactly as he spoke. The example, plants yielding seed of their kind and trees yielding fruit with seed in them and their kind. Also, the command he gave the waters and the land. How many thousands of years have gone by and they have done exactly what they said that God said to do. Day in and day out, season after season, they are doing exactly what God said. Amen? He used the same process with man in Genesis 1:26. He did not create man to be a manager. Okay? He did not create you to be the general manager. He created you to be a ruler, to rule and to reign. Okay? Not to manage, but to rule. This has to be the design. It has always been the design from the beginning. Adam lost it. But Jesus got it back. He delegated back to man his God-given authority. Hallelujah. Make sure I'm not skipping something here. The reason why things have to respond to the commands of faith. The reason why things have to respond to the commands of your faith is because God himself is in you. You see, when he created everything else, he spoke to substance. He spoke to things that are not seen. And boom, they were created. But when he thought of man, come on. When he thought of man, he put a little bit of himself into you. He put a little bit of himself into you. Come on. That's the only thing he did that with, not the angels. You. You, Karina. You woke up this morning with God on the inside of you. Hallelujah. When he created this earth, he already had you in mind. He said he knew you from before he even put you in your mother's womb, before the foundations of the earth. Think about that. You know, there's some new scientific studies that just came out about, you know, how do I say this? So they've always thought that the fastest swimmer got to the egg first, and that was the guy who won the battle, you know? Woo! That is actually now proven wrong scientifically. They're now beginning to say that it's not the fastest sperm, it is not the slowest, it's whichever one the egg is calling to it. It's whichever one the egg is calling to it. That right there, my friend, is purpose. That right there is saying God chose you. That right there is saying God knew you before he put you in his mother's womb. Come on, he already had purpose. He already had design. He already knew what path you would take. He already knew. You see, I've told you this before. When God created you, when he created man, He thinks of you as if you would never lie, never cheat, never steal, never leave him, worship him all the days of your life. That's how he looks at you. Because of Jesus, his blood. You see, you were bought with a price. You know, Satan, he went into Eve, talking with Eve, trying to convince her that she didn't have something that she already had. And he deceived her. Do you know he still uses that tactic every single day with you? He's constantly trying to tell you, you don't have it. You ain't got it. You ain't special. You don't have a platform. You don't sing good. I'm sorry. You don't work hard enough. You don't provide for your family good enough. You're not a good mom. You're not a good neighbor. You're not a good Christian. You just blew up that girl at the HEB parking lot. That wasn't me, by the way. You see, Eve was deceived. And many times we are too. Now listen, I have had my thoughts about when I get to heaven, I'm going to corner little Miss Eve and we're going to have a talk. Okay? What is Jesse? You got to do what you got to do. But listen, he talks, many of us, every single day, he talks us out of things. He persuades us to believe a lie so that he can twist how we see ourselves in the kingdom of God. You're not trying to convince yourself you're some good Christian. You're not trying to convince your neighbors that you're a man of God. You aren't convincing anybody. You are a man of God. You are a woman of God. You don't have to live up to someone's measurement of what they think righteousness looks like. Jesus is the only one who's ever made that measurement and then invited you in. Come on. He put himself in you. So you have dominion. You have not only dominion in the spirit realm, but you have dominion in this physical realm. Come on. Because of Jesus, you again have dominion on the earth. It belongs to you. It is your identity. But if you do not know who you are, you will never and can never walk in that dominion, not in its fullness. You might get some answered prayer. You might have some victories, and that's great. But God called us to walk in fullness of joy, victory, overwhelming victory. I can promise you this. When Jesus came out of that grave, it was the shot heard around the world. I promise you. Heard in heaven, heard in hell, in the atmosphere shook because it was truly finished. And then Jesus spent... He's so good. Think about this. He could have went right that moment and ascended. But he spent 40 more days teaching on the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom? It is your identity. Come on. It is who you are. It is what he did so that you can go. Come on. He set you up. If you'll think about it like this, he set you up to where it's impossible for you to fail. It's impossible for you to fail. Think about it. You might feel like a failure, but your emotions have nothing to do with what God's called you to do. I'm sorry, it does not. You might feel like you failed your children. You might feel like you failed your coworkers. You might feel like you failed exercise. And it don't matter. The devil will use anything to bring condemnation or struggle or whatever. He'll dump. He dumps. He dumps. Dominion belongs to you, not only in the spirit realm, but on the earth. You are first and foremost a spirit. That's why we must be led by the spirit. If you let this physical world lead you by your emotions, your circumstances, your finances, your lack, even your own physical body, you are not in dominion. You are not in dominion. Anything that happens in this physical carnal world is a direct reaction of what is happening in the spirit realm. Anything that happens is a direct reaction of what's taking place in the spiritual realm. That's why he said the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Why? Because a fervent man is not out here worrying and pondering and wondering and pacing. He's in prayer saying, oh Lord, thank you, Father God, your word is true. Lord, I thank you that what you said belongs to me. I have it, God. I thank you that my children rise up and call me blessed. Father, I thank you that my husband rises up and calls me blessed. Father, I thank you that my children will worship you and serve you all the days of their life. They will not waver to the left or to the right, but they will walk according to the purpose and the plan and the pursuit of heaven. That's what fervency looks like. Come on. Glory to God. Anything that happens in this physical, carnal world is a direct reaction of what happens in the spirit realm. A good example of that is when Jesus spoke to the fig tree. Okay? Carnally, physically, it looked like absolutely nothing happened. But the second the command was launched, it sent ripples out in the spirit realm that affected the natural. Sometimes it takes the natural to catch up because the spirit's moving so quickly, so quickly, so quickly. Things in this world are a little slow. Hallelujah. He said, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness of this world. Listen to me. If you're struggling right now, you are not struggling against what you think you are struggling against. The person at the HEB in the parking lot is not who you're struggling with. Your spouse is not who you're struggling with. Your children are not who you're struggling with. Your coworkers are not who you're struggling with. Your boss who refuses to give you a promotion is not who you're struggling with. There is a devil who does not want you operating in the giftings and the talents and the callings that God has called you to. Because if you do, then others will see it and they will want to know and they will come in. And then they will begin to operate in their giftings and their callings and so on and so forth. There is power living on the inside of you. And you better know it. When you release a word, I know you felt it. When you've prayed and you just know something is different. And you just pray that prayer and you know that you know something happened. Have you had those kinds of prayers? Something shifts. Something shifts. You don't have to have some big elaborate prayer. You can just call out on the name of Jesus. I know I've been in my car and something runs out and I'm like, Jesus! You have God, the Creator, the Absolute. There's nothing bigger There's nothing stronger. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing invented by man. There's no devil. There's no fault. There's no disease. There's no death. There's no nothing that can even come close to God. And He is living right now on the inside of you. Think about that. You're upset because your light bill's like $600 this month? Yeah, it's frustrating. It is. It's frustrating. But you're above it. You're above it. You are living in a dark carnal world, but you are not a resident of a dark carnal world. You are living and abiding and ruling from heavenly places. So if you are battling it out in the flesh, you are not operating in dominion. You will not have success. If you do, it will be very minimal and more so in the flesh. You see, when Jesus spoke to things, there was no battle. So let that be as an example to you what dominion looks like. You don't have to scream and yell, although I like to do it when I get excited. But that's not where the dominion lies. The dominion lies in identity. The dominion lies in I'm a king's kid. The dominion lies in Jesus already defeated it. The dominion lies in this is who I am because this is what lives on the inside of me. In order to effectively do, you must know your identity. And it's in Jesus. You will not find your identity in meditating. You will not find your identity in singing beautiful hymns. You will not find your identity in reading the best new Christian author. You will not find your identity. And all those things are wonderful and they help, but it's not who you are. You can only find your identity in Jesus. If you are not seeking Him, if you are not speaking with Him, if you're not visiting with Him, if you're not having communion with Him, if you're not inviting Him to your table, if you are not pursuing Him, how effective. When God wants something done in the earth, it's you. He's going to use you, Art. He's going to use you, Amanda. When He needs something done in this earth, He's going to use you. Why? You are His ambassador. You know, you heard the little Christianese. You're His hands and you're His feet. So cute, you know. I'm going to tell you right now, even more powerful than your hands and your feet is your mouth. And what you are choosing to let come out of it will determine. Come on. God said, and God saw. God said, and it was. That's a song. God said, come on. I'll turn anything into a song. Oh, goodness. Praise God. So when God wants something done in the earth, He commissions His ambassadors. You represent Him in every way. In every way. And don't get it twisted. It ain't you. I know we've got a lot of this right now where these people have got the YouTube and they got the Instagram and all the TikToks and they're just building this platform. And I'm not saying that God can't use those things. He absolutely uses those things and those are tools and we should use those things to spread the gospel. But what I'm saying is sometimes people get it twisted in the sense of, it's about me. Look at me. Look at me. Look what I can do. Look at my prophetic ministry. Look at who I got singing on my platform. You know, it becomes a song and a dance. And the things we read about, these happen in people's homes. This happened underground. This happened in prisons. This didn't happen because he had a million followers on Twitter. It happened because he listened and he knew who he was and he walked it out. Praise God. You represent Him in every way. Have you ever been somewhere with your kids and you look at them and you're like, look, don't you embarrass me. I will snatch you up. We're going to go in here. You're going to act civilized. You're not going to throw food on the floor and slap your sister? Why? They're representing me. They're representing this family. I expect my children when they leave my home, I better hear good reports. I better hear, man, I came across your daughter and da 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 da. Praise God. I shouldn't go, oh, my daughter? She did? Who'd have thought that? Me. Why? She's an ambassador of the Wallace house. Avery and Irie are an ambassador of my home. Not because we need a good name. It's not. But we raise them in truth. And we raise them to recognize truth. These children are a different breed. They are a different breed. Have you heard that term, the pandemic babies? You've heard that term with these little babies that are coming out of this little pandemic. They need Jesus. I'm just teasing. But honestly, we're raising children that are faith-filled, Holy Ghost-filled, devil's concerned about his future kind of children. And that's the way that it should be. Hallelujah. You were never designed to live out of your flesh, but to rule from the Spirit so that the will of God in heaven can be done on the earth through the seen by the unseen. Amen. In other words, we are to operate in the kingdom all the time and manifest his will. What is his will? Well, we know that the will is the word, but the will of the Father is freedom. It's victory. It's love. It's health. It's wealth. It's peace. It's joy. It's deliverance in the Holy Ghost. If you look at what Jesus did, that is the will of the Father. Because Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what he says. So we saw by what Jesus did is he is the ambassador of the kingdom. So if Jesus walked and talked like God, that must mean we might ought to as well. You see, when Jesus came up against the centurion, you know the one that he said he was amazed by his faith, that he hadn't seen that kind of faith at all? And he was like, why? Why was that? It's because that man had a small revelation of dominion. And Jesus was like, yes, this is where we're going. This is what I want my people to see. Because, you know, Jesus was, you know, he answered prayers, and the lady that was like, you know, you give the dogs crumb. Jesus, you know, he did those things, the beggars and the pleaders, and he healed them, and the sick people that crawled to him and healed them. But who was he the most excited about? The one that said, Jesus, you don't even have to physically show up. Just send the word. That is what God is talking about when he says, walk in dominion. We are the only thing created. We're the only creatures that have legal authority on the earth according to God. It's humans. It's humans. That's why demons are running to and fro, trying to get a body. They have no power and authority outside of a human body. They don't. None. Because without it, think about that for a second. That's why they like ticks on generations. They'll try to stick around a bloodline as long as they can. Because they're kind of hoping that the further it goes along, people will forget and they not know what their third grandpa did back down the line. So they get just kind of hang out in the shadows. But see, you were called to end those generational demonic things because they have nothing to do with you. You're in the kingdom. You're a new creation. They don't get the right to do that. They operate illegally. They must have a body to do anything. Man has dominion. You must have an earth suit. That's why Jesus came as a baby. That's why he had to come as a baby. He had to come in an earth suit. Because the only way for him to legally get back what Adam lost, he had to become a man. He had to become a man. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Jesus did it all. He paid the price. We are not only free from the penalty of death, but we've been seated in heavenly places to rule and to reign. So we're not just free. We're not just saved. You get to orchestrate the kingdom of God. What a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. Think about that for a second. Has your boss or someone that's been over you ever said to you, "You know, I like you. I'm going to hand you my personal credit card. And anytime you got a need, just take that. Unlimited access. You just go run there and you just go get what you need. Oh, by the way, if you have any problems, just use my name. It'll get you in some places." What? Who does that? A man that's willing to pay the most expensive, extravagant price for his beloved creation. You are so loved. You are so thought of. Father God. He didn't panic. Just so you know, he didn't panic when Eve was deceived in the garden. There wasn't like a, "Hit the button, Gabriel!" No. Didn't happen like that. You know, it didn't happen like that. Code red! Code red! Okay, I'm done. But you see, the first thing that God did when Eve took that bite, I know people say it's an apple, but it was a fig. When she took a bite of that fruit, you see, God was not surprised. He knew exactly what happened. He knew exactly what was happening. Why didn't he stop them? Free will. Choice. But the first thing that he did when it happened, he promised Satan, he said, "I'm coming for you." I'm going to paraphrase here. "I'm coming for you, sucker. Because you deceived my girl, you deceived my woman, the next one that's going to come, she's going to bear another man. He's going to crush your head." Come on. What a slap. And Satan's probably like, "Pew, pew, pew, pew." And then what did he do? He said, "Down on your belly. How dare you come for my kids?" Ooh, let me tell you something. There's no gender, okay? God is not a woman, okay? God's father. But what I mean is he displays mother bear tendencies. Because if you ever try to come for my kids, I will lay hands on you and not pray, okay? I'll pray later. But first, we're going to take care of some business. Amen. Praise God. And that's not a joke. Got to do what you got to do. It's true. Have you ever thought why we're so protective over our children? Have you ever thought of that? We are made in the image of our Father, our Creator. And he said, "Be blessed and multiply." So when he put himself in you and then he gave you that command, guess what? This is how Father feels about you. Someone messes with his kids. Come on. Stop being lied to. Stop being deceived. He is trying to do the same to you to gain access. Put him on the run today. Walk in your identity so that you can walk in your dominion. If you want to walk in all that God has for you, you have to realize it's already yours by design. You did not earn it. You can't be good enough to get it. You notice when he said, let us make man in our image, and he created man and gave him dominion. He did that because he loves you. He loves you. That was the first sign of love. No, actually, it was what we just read through. He created this whole ecosystem and atmosphere for you to live and abide. And then he made it so beautiful and lush so that you could admire the beauty of his handiwork. Praise God. And there's places in this earth that are so beautiful and stunning. Think about that. But think about what it looked like before sin and darkness entered the earth. Praise God. If you are a born-again believer, you must walk in dominion. Other people are absolutely depending on you to walk in who you were created to be. Wrong people are absolutely depending on you to walk in dominion. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about that? This is why it's so important to cultivate a relationship with Jesus. Because he will begin to show you things about yourself. He'll begin to release things in you and on you and through you. You know, when I was a teenager, I know some of you know this, but I was raised in church my entire life, and all of my life, my family were musicians and sang and played and did. And I have umpteen brothers and sisters, so we would all be on the platform singing like, you know, the Jackson 5 with the neon microphones. Mine was yellow. And so we would learn these songs and we would sing and we would do. And probably when I got up to around the age of 13, 14, I was like, I don't want to do this no more. And I refused for several years. If I got up there, it was because my mama told me she was going to whip my butt. And I did. I was yes, ma'am. But other than that, I was not obedient to that. I had no desire to do it whatsoever. But then there came a moment where I had rededicated my heart back to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. The enemy had me sidetracked a second. But Lord, I give it. I give my whole self to you. I give everything I've got to you. You know what the first thing he did? Boom. Back on the platform. I was in the choir loft with my robe on. Wow. Wow. I didn't have no spectacular parts. I didn't have no solos. I just was soprano. You know, we'd sway a little bit. I was just being obedient. And then one day, the choir director came to me. She goes, Jesse, I think I have a song. I think I might would have you lead. And I was like, what? So she gave it to me and I learned it. And I got up there and I stood beside the piano. And this was a televised church, kind of like ours today. But it was on live TV every Sunday morning. We had a congregation of about 500. And I got up there and I instantly felt a boldness come over me. Because see, what happened in that moment was, see, I was obedient in the choir loft, and because I was faithful to do that, then he moved me in a different direction. See, it was the same thing. The obedience was the same. It was just in a different position now. And so when I grabbed that microphone and that piano guy was like, well, Jesus was going up on his way to Jerusalem to be lifted high on a tree that he might draw man unto me. And I mean, I sang that song with my toenails were harmony. I came out swinging. And then I was like, praise God. My pastor gets up there and he goes, well, sing it again. And I was like, well, Jesus was going up. I was not going to miss my opportunity. I was not going to forfeit my call. I was not going to forfeit what God had me doing from the time I was knee-high to a grasshopper. Not this time. If he wants me singing in a choir, I'll sing in a choir. If he wants me singing in my car, I'm going to sing in my car. If he wants me preaching in the subway parking lot, I'm going to speak in the subway parking lot. If he wants me to sing in the elevator, I have made a decision, whatever he wants me to do. As long as he makes it clear to me, I will do with everything I've got. Because I choose to. Praise God. People struggle when identity is not clear. We're seeing that today in this world. It's an identity crisis. Even in the church, there's an identity crisis. People are desperately trying to identify with something. Why do you think Satan is working so hard at this? Why is he attacking people's identity? Because for the born-again Holy Ghost believer, you can stop every plan of Satan and enforce the will of the Father, his kingdom come, his will on earth. How? You and me. You and me. You and me. We have been bought with a price. We've been set free. We've been seated in heavenly places. Not so that you can wake up on a Tuesday grouchy and grumpy because they burnt your toast. I don't even want it now. Come on. Identity. Dominion. It's who you are. It's who you are. So on your worst day, does not change who you are. It does not change that God put himself on the inside of you. God said and God saw. Yes, there are days where we don't feel like it, but that's that earth suit talking. See, being in this body gives us legal right to access these things, right? In the flesh and in the spirit, because of Jesus. But see, Satan tries desperately to attack both. You see, he operates from a spiritual realm that's constantly berating the physical realm. Constantly berating the physical realm. If it's not your kids, and then it's the bills, and it's your neighbor that won't park right. He's constantly trying to cause distraction. He's constantly trying to get you to chase things that don't even need your attention or your focus. He's trying to constantly distract you from having a cultivated relationship with him, because a fervent prayer availeth much. Identity. Dominion. It's you. You're going to get the job done. Yes, it is Father. It is God. Don't get it twisted. It is Jesus. But he's going to get it done through you. He's going to get it done through your children. He's going to get it done through your grandchildren. Amen. Don't forfeit. Don't stop now. I don't care how heavy the battle's been. I don't care how bad the lies have been. I don't care what hell you've been walking through. Don't you dare forfeit. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. I don't care if you're having the thoughts. Say it to yourself. Don't do it. Don't forfeit. Don't do it. Mm-mm. Nope. I ain't giving it up. I ain't giving it up. Identity. Praise God. Do you receive this tonight? Praise God. I hope this rang you. I hope this shook you, all for the right reasons. I pray that God uses this to release a new level of anointing, to release a new level of perception. Tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the living God, by the power and the anointing that you've given to me, Lord. I release over these people tonight, God, a new desire, a refreshing to come upon them, a new hunger, God. Lord, that they would refuse to let go of the promises. No, this is mine. Put the devil on the run. Father, we just thank you for it right now, Jesus. Blessed is your name, Father, among men. Father, we just thank you right now. Holy Spirit, Lord, if there's any tie that's been binding, any chain that's been lurking and holding, and any little devils that have been just tormenting, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release them right now. I release them right now, and I command that spirit to leave them and torment them no more. Father, I thank you that they walk in identity and dominion. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Let's receive our offering. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is a blessed church, and this is why. Because we're good givers. We are good givers and good receivers. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, right now we just speak the word over this offering and over these tithes. God, we ask you to bless them. We thank you for a hundredfold return. God, we thank you for your faithful people who are givers, God. And we just ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you're giving online or you want to give via text message, you can give VCHL the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link, complete your gift. You can go online to victory1.org, I believe it is. Victory1.org and give online that way as well. Or you can mail in a check. Whatever you want to do. Praise God. We love you. God loves you. Always get this backwards. Stay in victory. Bye-bye.